Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm freaking tired. I'll tell you what.
You know what? Me too. Okay, by the way, welcome to the Green Ideas Radio Show. I'm Frank, a.k.a. Real. That's John, John Dealey. You know, the worst part about this show, from Sunday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, that has got to be the longest freaking hour before the show. It's just like, I want to take a nap.
I did. I swear to God, man. I'm sitting here. Sundays are like my day. I unplug myself for the day. I'm done. And I'm sitting there watching like Food Paradise or some crap, you know, the 99th rerun for the day. And I woke up like, oh, God, I got the show. Oh, damn, I got a bunch of crap out of my eyes.
Damn. It's like the, Sunday evening, I don't know what it is about it. Just like from, just like, it 59 minutes took 3 hours tonight before the time for the show to start.
And now when you're sleeping.
man, welcome to the show. By the way, that's Moonshine Bandits with our song that leads in. I love that song. I love the Moonshine Bandits and whatever. I'm trying to get them on the show, but they're not listening to me. So, let me think. Oh, why do we do that? Why do we do this show each Sunday night, John?
Because we want to be thoroughly annoying to the world.
Yes, and speaking of the world, I figured out the reason why we do this is because of those 7.2% of the listeners out there from China. I mean, I feel like I have a responsibility because, we got people all over the world listening to this show, and it still cracks me up. But we did lose, by the way. We lost Italy last week. I'm not sure exactly why. What did we do? Did we piss off Italy somehow?
I don't know, because I hit hated cheese. I don't know.
Well, we had 63.3% of our listeners from the good old United States, but then we had 15 other countries, of which China was number two, and I won't list them all this week, but number three was Bangladesh. That also cracks me up.
That's great. Just like Sri Lanka, you know, it's like, oh man, yeah, we're really getting the Ivory Coast.
But you know what? We never get South America. I don't know what the deal is. We never have anywhere from South. We have Africa. We have Europe. We even have. I mean, we have Russia. We have Australia. So what's the deal with South America? Nobody there wants.
Do they have electricity?
Maybe not. I don't know. Well, we're here. It's Sunday night.
Yes, we are.
9 p.m. And welcome to the show. If you'd like to call in, no one ever does, but I'll say it anyway because we have no guest, by the way. Last 2 weeks we've had a guest. This week I didn't go out there and try to find somebody. It's just us doing the food news. But if you'd like to call in, 714-242-5272. If you want to,
we guarantee to bust
anything,
your chops.
Yes, we will bust your chops, and you can bust ours.
Yep.
Call in if you want to be on the radio, because it goes down in history. By the way, all of our shows, believe it or not, for the last 6+ years, they're all there. All in the archives. They're probably like arcades for us, but there's like there's like over 400 shows. In case if you get bored and got nothing to do, we're almost like Netflix. You know that? We're like Netflix. We should start charging like $9.95 a month for this.
We should. Yeah. We'll lose China. We'll lose Russia.
All right, and as we always do every week, we need to find out what's going on with DEFCON sauces. Anything exciting going on over there?
You know, this is. I think I said it last week. This is like the calm before the storm. March is just like an off month for us. It's kind of, you know, the crappy weather's leaving, and the hopefully the good weather's coming. Hey, wait. We do have another nor'easter coming in on Tuesday.
I heard that.
It's like, what the hell's going on, man? Oh, God. And then supposed to be after that one, there's another one coming. It's just stuff.
Oh, there you go.
But anyway, so we're dealing with that crap, whatever. At least we got electricity now. That's always a positive. But anyway, this is Wednesday. March has always been our kind of off month, and we're trying to kind of gear up for the whole year. We got a whole bunch of shipments in for product, and next month it begins. I do believe the first event we've got is the NYC Hot Sauce Expo on April 21st, 22nd. We are doing our world-renowned wing eating death match. I get to hurt people, and they do it voluntarily. That'll be on the 21st, the Saturday of the show at 4:00. Then the weekend after that, we're actually doing a different one. We're doing a new show. We got contacted out of the blue by people from Oasis Family Farms. It's got, you know, it's just down South Jersey, and it's one of these little rinky-dink things that like we do every once in a while, and they turn out to be really, really a lot of fun. And we got this, all these, oh, God, it looks like total local people doing this kind of stuff. And it's, oh, God, you got foods, you got sauces, sweets, more. You got all sorts of like food vendors at this thing. And it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's probably going to be a freaking riot. So if you're in the area of the Oasis Family Farm, it's down south. You Google it, or you can look it up on Facebook. We're going to be down there the 28th of April as well. And then May. oh God, we're gonna be in Connecticut doing our 10th, our 10 year straight doing the New England Regional Chili Cook-Off, the NERCC.
Wow.
10 years in a row, man. We love that show. It's Mad Mike and his wonderful, his awesome. We call it wife Kat. Those two are just, they're grandiose people. I'll be doing that. I think it's middle of May, and then all the farmers markets kick into gear and everything starts getting going. Then it just goes until it stops. Usually around October. So, but yeah, we're gearing up. March is a down day, and we have electricity.
Yeah.
What the hell are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because I had to start the music again. I just realized that it stopped, and your minute and 20 seconds for your advertisement was long over.
Oh, yeah. By the way, it's defconsauces.com if you want to order something.
Hey, by the way, speaking of defconsauces.com, I took
yes.
a pork butt and put it in the crock pot, and then I
yes.
cooked it all day long, and then I
right.
tore it apart like pulled pork, and then I took
yep.
your medium wing sauce, and
that's
put it in
bestseller.
There. It, oh, my God, John. It was
yeah.
excellent. I mean, it was like Sloppy Joe's because it was too wet. I had too much moisture in there. But still,
right.
what an excellent product. I know it's for wings, but, hey, if you want to make
I'll tell you what. A lot of people are using it now, and they mix a little bit with ground beef. Make like a buffalo burger. It really works out well. But, the wing sauce is – I hate saying it's wing sauce, but it is. It's traditional-style wing sauce, but – people don't think outside the box very often. I think people finally are. It's kind of like, this doesn't have to be just on wings. Use it on anything.
Right.
Use it as an eye wash. You know, whatever you want to do it.
I wouldn't do that. But it was really good. It was really good on the pork butt. I just pulled pork. And I said,
yep.
you know what? I think I'll use John's medium wing sauce just for the hell of it. It was excellent.
Yeah.
I made barbecue sandwiches.
I appreciate it. That's by far the bestseller of all the wing sauces. It's got a little bit of heat, but not too much.
Well, when I come to the New York City, what do you call it again? Hot sauce show?
Hot sauce expo.
I'm going to have to get some more of that because that's good stuff. I'm almost out.
Okay, we even have courts. We have courts. You're gonna have a ball to show. I swear to God. And you're doing the dinner with us too. The dinner is by invitation.
Yeah,
only.
I'm actually putting me down. I'm coming. I'm putting me down.
Right.
April 21st, 22nd. I might even bring a date. So I got to find a place to stay and all that stuff. But I am definitely coming. So check out DefCon.
Oh, so okay, you're gonna bring a hand puppet. That's great.
Yes, a hand puppet. All right. Well, I got nothing really to say. Let's see. What can I tell you about me? I've been traveling like a crazy man, and next week I'm going to Amarillo, Texas, to a food show, a supermarket show.
Well, Texas is fun.
Then I'm going to California to, I'm going to be all over the state of California the first week of April. So I'm a busy little beaver right now when it comes to travel. Speaking of beavers, I'm going to bring a date.
Oh, my God. Yeah. call it lefty.
A pup. All right. Let me see here. You know what? I'm just looking here. We have 28 food news stories. 28. So if you multiply, if it takes 2 minutes per story, multiply it by 2, divide it by 7, square root of 3, add a slice of bacon. We're talking an hour's worth of food news here. So,
it could be. Well, some of the topics may suck.
Yeah, well, some of them actually do, but I couldn't believe the number of food news stories we have, and I'm not even going to play our food news music because we don't have time for that shit tonight. All right, here we go.
Oh, God.
All right. If you want to call in, if any of these stories piss you off,
or
if you want to talk about anything, don't forget.
Or if my commentary pisses you off.
What'd you say?
If my commentary pisses you off.
Oh, yeah. Your commentary just goes on and on. By the way, I got a different question. Have you ever gotten any orders for DefCon sauces from China?
No.
No.
I mean, we have wholesalers. I maybe one of them sold something there, but I have no idea.
I'm just intrigued. Every week I look at this number, it gets bigger and bigger. I just can't understand why China is becoming a large listenership. But anyway, all right, here we go. Food news for March 18th. Number one, okay, Dairy Queen is suing a company called W.P. Mason for allegedly, this cracks me up, for allegedly infringing on their trademark for their Blizzard milkshake. Okay, John, you with me so far?
Yeah, so it sounds like a winner. Yeah.
This is great. W.B. Mason sells its own brand. Let me quote once again what they sell. They sell their own brand of bottled water, and they use the Blizzard name on their bottled water. Okay, you with me so far?
Yep.
The federal lawsuit argues that a substantial portion. You ready for this? Here's my favorite line of the story. The substantial portion of Dairy Queen's U.S. restaurant, they also sell bottled water alongside with their Blizzard treat. And the trademark is there and could lead to confusion among consumers. Now,
God. Oh, no.
Are they stretching this or what? Okay, because, all right, when you say Blizzard, I think it's snowstorm. But I have to admit, Dairy Queen has done a good job with their Blizzards because, you know, that's the one you put the M&Ms or the whatever.
Maggie loves those things. Yep.
But are they serious? They're actually suing this company who has bottled water.
Well, okay, W.B. Mason. Now think about it, though. W.B. Mason, they make a water named Blizzard. Why the hell wouldn't it be ice?
Well,
why are Blizzard water? It's room temperature.
You can't drink it. If it's ice,
you can't. That's right. It was white like the 80s.
Well, there's a lawsuit. can't wait. I can't wait for the follow-up story on this to see who wins. If Dairy Queen wins this, our world is screwed up.
Well, you know, you hear a lot, to be honest with you, like in the last, I don't know, year or so, you've heard a lot less frivolous lawsuit crap going on. I've noticeably. I mean, I used to hear about these stupid lawsuit things all the freaking time. You don't hear about them that much anymore.
Well, there's one for you.
Yeah.
If you've been lonely, there's one. Now, speaking of lawsuits, here's another one for you. A lawsuit claims that, you know, Walmart, they're always in our food news.
Oh, Walmart. I've got to get a Walmart thing. Yeah, yep.
You know, like this one, too. A lawsuit claims
Spandex?
That Walmart allegedly issued misleading e-commerce results in an effort to compete with Amazon. And they fired one of their executives who complained the company was breaking the law. The lawsuit filed by Walmart's former director of business development alleges he was terminated under false pretenses after raising concerns about the company overly aggressively pushing to show growth in its e-commerce business against Amazon. Talking about frivolous lawsuits.
Right. It's nonsense. Again, nonsense. It's like, who cares?
Well, obviously, this
if you want to buy Walmart, you buy Walmart. If you want to buy Amazon, use Amazon. It's not going to matter. Well, we're doing better against Amazon now. It's not going to make me switch my vote to Walmart.
I mean, that's there's the world apart anyway. Amazon and Walmart, and I've got a couple.
Yeah,
of other
it's
Amazon
like, oh my God.
story number three. Now, do you remember last week? Speaking of Walmart. Did you remember me last week talking about how Walmart was coming out with meal kits?
Yes.
All right. Now, what did I say? Do you remember what I said? Did you remember what I said last week?
I never listen to what you say, but no, I don't.
I know you don't. What I said last week was, uh-oh, goodbye, Blue Apron.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Blue Apron plans to start selling its meal kits in stores later in 2018. It is considering selling single kits on its website and is in active conversation with a variety of retailers versus just selling online. I told you, I said when Walmart made that decision, that goodbye Blue Apron, I can remember, I think I've told this story before, about a year ago, the FedEx guy used to show up at my house and there would be 50 to 100 Blue Apron boxes in the back of his truck, which I never understood. And I said to him, gee whiz, you guys are busy with Blue Apron. He goes, oh, my God, it's going crazy. Well, you know what? He was here like 2.5 weeks ago. I didn't see a damn Blue Apron box in his truck.
I don't understand the whole idea behind these meal box things. It's lazy. It's dumb. It's like, well, I don't have enough time. I work too much. Well, then don't work as much. I mean, good Lord, man. Go to the supermarket and wander the aisles and come up with ideas in your own head. What do you think would taste good that you would make yourself and make it and just freaking do it? And I'm not saying you have to make asabuco for lunch. No, but you can be a little bit creative. Instead of getting some stupid thing that comes in a box, you add water to it, and bam, there's your meal. It's like survival food.
Asabuco. You know, that's one of my favorite meals. I haven't had that in a long time. Asabuco.
We have a gentleman in Kansas who actually uses our number 2 wing sauce in his recipe for asabuco, believe it or not.
No kidding. That would be good.
Yep, I thought that was one of the most interesting uses I've seen. Sexual lubricant, but that's DEF condoms, so they'll be out soon, but we'll get there.
A sexual prevention lubricant, sex. That would be kind of hot, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you what, it would be cool looking logo on a condom label.
It would. You're right.
It really would.
All right.
Now we're going to have the glow-in-the-dark Gumby receptacle end, you know?
Okay. And, you know, speaking of Blue Apron, today, okay, I took the crock pot out, and I threw in vegetables, potatoes, carrots, onions, peppers. I threw in some seasoning, poured in a little coffee, and took a little gravy mix and put it in there, put it in the crock pot.
Turned it on, took a European vacation, and came back.
Yeah, I took turned on the crock pot. 4 hours later, voila. And then I put 2 chickens in the oven, sprinkled some seasoning on them, threw them in the oven. This is the part I don't get. What are these people so stupid they can't cook? They have to call Blue Apron or get a meal kit
from
Walmart?
Yeah, dude, and you're paying a just shit ton of money, too. It's not like the stuff's going to be $5. Shipping and all that crap. It's like I don't understand. I mean, the laziness is crazy. If you work too much, then get another freaking job. Because if you don't have time to cook yourself a freaking meal, you're doing something wrong in life.
Oh, it's be great. I mean, I probably prepped maybe 20 minutes for what I just told you, 20, 30 minutes
right.
at the most.
Right.
And it's just, I just don't get it either.
It's like people that work in New York City and complain about how long it takes them to get there. Then find another job somewhere else. It's like you got the job to be able to complain about it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Now, you're going to like this story because it's about your favorite company that starts with an M. Can you guess what that is?
Monsanto.
Yes, Monsanto.
Oh,
well,
the carpet people. Yes.
Yeah, well, Bayer is trying to buy them. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
That's a global takeover, but yeah.
Well, here's the problem. They're trying to win an antitrust approval from the U.S. government with their takeover of Monsanto, but they haven't satisfied the U.S. officials, who are worried that the merger could hurt competition, according to people familiar with the matter.
Oh,
The Justice Department Antitrust Division doesn't think Bayer's proposal to sell businesses goes far enough and wants Bayer to divest more assets to resolve its concerns. So, Bayer and Monsanto...
Give it all your shit, then we'll let you to buy them. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, they're having a problem getting the deal to go through the Antitrust Division of our...
That's just a match made. No, that's dude. That's like a match made in hell, though. I mean, think about it.
It's your favorite company that just gets bigger. That's all.
Right? Yeah. With a lot more medication involved now. I mean, it's yuck. Just the combination of the two of them would make your skin crawl. Gah.
All right. Story number 5. Now. This I found interesting because I didn't know there was such a thing. But anyway, Arcadia Biosciences has brought to market a new non-GMO wheat ingredient portfolio to customers. Okay? The company developed wheat varieties with up to 94% amylase. Now, you're going to say, what the F is amylase, right?
Yes.
Well, I looked it up, and here's what amylase is. Amylase is an enzyme that is a catalyst that hydrolyzes sugars, starch into sugars, okay? Amylase
right.
is actually present in a human saliva and some other mammals where it begins the chemical process of digestion. So,
right.
the way I read this is this Arcadia Biosciences has developed some kind of wheat ingredient to add to wheat that breaks it down so that it is a good source of fiber, high in fiber, but does not cause the issue with the GMO wheat ingredients, blah, blah, blah. I have no freaking idea what that means, but according to this story,
that just sounds stupid. We're gonna make the wheat be wheat.
Well, yeah, but they're gonna add spit to it. Basically, we're gonna add.
I was just gonna say they're gonna spit on it. It's gonna be better. Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful.
What is your job at Arcadia Biosciences? I talked Louis into the wheat.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Hey, look at that. All from across the room. Hey.
Hey. All right.
Oh.
Story number three.
Well, what? But then they're going to find out the spit has gluten in it.
No, the spit doesn't have gluten. It breaks down the gluten. So.
Oh, it breaks down the gluten, but there shouldn't be any gluten anyway,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because gluten is evil. Gluten is the evil of all.
It turns starch into sugars. What does
yes.
this particular catalyst that's in our spit.
Sort of spit, yes.
All right. Taco Bell. This blew me away.
Oh, all right. God.
Have you seen their new nacho?
All the meat is the same color.
Wait till you hear this. Have you seen their new nacho fries? Which I think is a funny name anyway. But have you seen their new nacho fries?
Yeah, they're mine. Nachos. I've seen them on TV. I think the last time I went into Taco Bell had to be like a decade ago, and I was thoroughly mortified by what people are actually consuming. But that's just me.
Well, they sold. Listen to this number. They sold more than 53 million orders of nacho fries in the first 5 weeks of its availability. The company
I'll give them credit. The marketing campaign they had was really kind of cool, like an X-Files type of thing. And actually, it was intriguing. And I think that didn't they do it during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they introduced it then. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't watch one football game all season for whatever my own reasons. But I think they did it during the Super Bowl. I mean, people were talking about it. So yeah, I mean the marketing campaign was genius, and it's so freaking stupid. Let's spray some Monsanto taco flavoring on our fries, and here have at it, and hey, you'll be able to spit better, and you can break down the gluten.
53 million orders. In 5 weeks. Can you imagine if you sold 53 million orders of DEFCON sauces in 5 weeks?
Oh, I would retire. I'm tapping out, guys. I'm tapping out.
you should advertise on Super Bowl next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can afford that. So let me sell 53 million bottles. I can afford a Super Bowl commercial.
Well, there you go. That's the risk you got to take. Maybe you should put that money out, and you'd be selling 53 million bottles of that medium wing sauce of yours.
And then, ding, 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 here comes reality.
There you go. All right, story number seven. Have you heard of this company called this? And this one cracks me up. I don't know why. Have you heard of this company called Noodles and Company?
Gee, what do they sell?
Yeah, I was going to ask you. What do you think they sell, John?
It couldn't be noodles.
Well, it turns out that's what they do, but they're making an effort to turn their business around and produce same-store sales growth by the end of 2018. The initiative
Build a better noodle. All right.
It includes streamlining their menu and the introduction of loyalty rewards program and a new emphasis on sales for off-premises consumption. Now...
Okay, so we're gonna make the menu smaller. We're going to make the menu smaller, and we're going to allow takeout. That's something. That's brilliant.
Here's what they're banking their growth in sales on. You ready for this? Zucchini noodles. They believe that's going to be the thing that's going to take them over the top.
Oh, don't tell me they're going to call them zoodles. Oh.
Zoodles, maybe, but zucchini noodles in May. They're coming out with a new noodle made out of zucchini, but off-premises consumption. So I guess people want to
go to call that
to
takeout. It's like, you know, big, lot, too many words, takeout.
Would you
You're
like
allowing
to have
people
that
to eat?
Off, would you like
oh,
to eat here
God.
Or have that off-premises consumption?
Off-premises consumption. Ah, would you? Are you dining in, or are you taking for off-premises consumption?
Don't make this stuff up.
You have to bring your own container to carry it out. They sell Tupperware at the counter for off-premises consumption.
Off-premises consumption.
That's so freaking funny.
Off-premises consumption. I think that'd be so funny to have a sign at a restaurant. If you have like a little restaurant, you have eat in or off premises consumption.
No one, it's kind of like petroleum transfer engineer. I work at a gas station. Same idea. It would go over everyone's head because they'd have to think about what that actually means, and people don't do that anymore.
Off-premises consumption. Okay.
That's funny. That's funny. We're gonna shorten our menu and have takeout. We're doing complete restructuring. Got it.
Story number 8, Dunkin' Donuts. All right, here we go. Speaking of off-premises consumption, they're going to do on-the-go mobile ordering. On
Google. Firing it at you as you drive by the window. Load the donut gun!
They shoot the munchkins at you as you go by.
Yeah, that's right. Smile for the camera. Pow!
The feature is going to give customers access to voice ordering. Wow, that's called a phone.
Wow, there's something, best thing since the light switch. Oh my God.
Voice ordering and the ability to skip the line for pickup.
Voice ordering. Instead of sign language, you can use your voice now. Oh, my God. He said, hey, honey, we don't have to bring the flare gun this time.
I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God. Voice ordering. Oh, we need a rim shot. Oh, my God, it's horrible.
It gets even better. You ready? You're going to have an app on your phone, okay? You know that voice ordering system that you have in your hand? It will provide distance and estimated time to reach the location for your order.
Oh, boy.
If we
order from Nebraska, ordering. Mabel, we can get there by the time the order's ready. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, this is sad. Voice ordering system. Yeah, just wait. Don't think it could get any more simple. Now you can use your voice. Wow.
And by the way, did you know that if you ride by and they fire those munchkins at you, you can have those on off-premises consumption?
There it is.
That's
freaking awesome. Oh, my God.
Okay.
That's silly.
Some of this stuff, you know, there's a corporate room somewhere, a boardroom, where these guys are sitting around coming up with these big words and come up with these.
We call it a star chamber. Yeah.
And they're making a gazillion dollars. And somebody, can you imagine in the boardroom, there's some guy who says, I have a great idea. Why don't we have a voice ordering system?
Oh, it's great. But now the thing is, though, then they hire a research company. And the research company, that's who's making the freaking money. It's like they want to come up with a really good way to say now they're going to sell colder ice. Thermodynamically enhanced water systems. Like, oh God, please, really.
Sometimes this is. Sometimes this show is hard to do because of the stupidity.
Yeah, no, and think about it, there's millions and billions of dollars being spent on each one of these stories. That's the funny part.
I mean,
it's sad, but it's funny.
I know, and it's true. Ugh. All right, story number 9. We got a long ways to go. We got 19 more after this one. Walmart, again.
Oh, God.
They have applied for 6 patents. In 2017, for drones that aim to prevent damage to the crops, control pest attacks on farms, and cross-pollinate plants.
Oh, isn't that special? Wait! They're gonna get rid of pests? Oh God! Now we have killer drones because zapping mosquitoes.
They're gonna have these killer drones that are gonna kill pests. And cross-pollinate, so they're going to be like little bee, like I guess like little bumblebee drones, right?
Oh, God. Oh, God. This is just like War of the Worlds in a plantation. So you got, oh, my God, these robots flying around zapping. Oh, my God, could you can make a movie out of this crap.
By the way, later on tonight during our show, I have got a robot story that is going to crack your ass up. Okay. But anyway, they're going to pollinate the plant. They're going to control pest attacks. And according to this article, the technology could allow Walmart more control over its supply chain for produce and offer it a distinct advantage over its rivals.
Oh, well, isn't that a business model? Well, we haven't taken over all of the mom-and-pop shops yet, but this will give us a much better way to do it.
We're just going to shoot them with a drone.
Yeah, send out the killer mom and pop killer drones. Yeah, send one of them out.
Oh, my head hurts. My head hurts from laughing. All right.
Walmart's getting in drone warfare. Oh, my God.
All right, here's another one that's going to make you laugh. You know our good buddies, the millennials? We talk about them a lot.
Yeah.
Well, they've done a study and a survey, and millennials.
Oh, okay, millions of dollars. Okay.
Here you go. Millennials' expectations for ethical practices in snacks and grab-and-go food brands is very high on their list. Now, first of all, I have to stop.
Oh my God!
What the hell are ethical practices in snacks and grab-and-go food brands?
Dude, like I said, there's a star chamber. Someone's sitting down and going, man, if we put this out there, people are actually going to freaking believe it.
Well, 76% of consumers said ethical efforts made by restaurants are very trendy, while 64%
of millennials. What the hell is an ethical effort?
I don't know, but while 64% of millennials said there's a short supply of ethical grab-and-go options.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home and cook up a burger?
Ethical? I don't know what ethical.
What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
Ethical?
If you bring ethics into it with a snowflake, it's going to lead for sudden outrage about something. It gives them a reason to bitch about something. Anything
and
to do with ethical, that means there's a plus and a minus to it. So the minus, you're evil if you take the, you're not ethical. You don't like the ethical. Oh, see, we're trying to, oh, God, it's freaking such bullshit.
All right, but here we go. Here's the best part. Almost 70% of millennials that were surveyed and in this generation would be willing to pay more for ethically produced food that they can grab and go.
Huh. Yes. We're not going to kill the chicken by ripping its head off. No, we're going to give it chloroform first. That's ethical.
I'm going to do some studies between now and next week's show. I'm going to find out more about what this ethical
If you're going to do a study, find out. Hey, dude, you might be able to get subsidies. You're making somebody subsidize it.
I mean, you and I need to just come out with different, like, snacks, like all kinds of snacks, and just have a label.
And hand
says,
themselves out.
Yes, ethical practices were used to make this apple, or ethical practices were made to make this.
Well, it's kind of like, dude, you can go to, okay, Whole Foods, my favorite freaking place to eat asparagus water. You can get pre-peeled oranges. What if the orange didn't want to be peeled? That's non-ethical. You know, it's like, where does this shit end? Dude, it's just gotten stupid. I mean, ethical grab-and-go foods. What, you don't want the last hot dog revolving on a 7-Eleven grill for the last week? Oh, no, you cannot have that one. So what the fuck, really?
That was a very good impression of a guy who works at 7-Eleven, by the way.
Oh, no, that was a customer.
Oh, that was a customer? I thought it was the guy behind
the
counter.
No, whatever. I'll probably get shit about that. Yeah, whatever.
Wait a minute. We don't have anybody. Let me see. No, we don't have anybody listening from India or Pakistan, so we're okay.
Oh, yeah, they might be opening up a New Delhi. Oh, look, I see what it did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there. New Delhi. Anybody calling? I doubt it. Anybody calling?
Oh, no, we know. Everybody hates us.
All right, story number 11. We got to hurry up. Okay. Oh, boy. Remember we talked about the last 2 weeks about Mr. Trump, evil Trump, and his 25% tariff on steel and 10% tariff on, what was it? I forget, the aluminum, I think.
Right.
Well, the EU is going to institute.
They banded together. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to institute a 25% levy on U.S. cranberries in response to the new tariff. The U.S. sends about 95 million pounds of cranberries to the EU annually, representing 12%.
And then, you know what's going to happen? It's going to backfire on them. You know why? Because all of a sudden, the yeast infections are going to run rampant throughout Europe.
True.
All of a sudden, everyone's going to be baking bread in their shorts. I mean, it's going to get really, really gross. And all of a sudden, we can't do this anymore. And then Trump's going to win.
The only time I eat cranberries, I believe, is each Christmas when I get that can. I mean, it's nothing like it when you open that can and you pour it out on the container, on the dish, and you cut it in slices. Hey, by the way, it's an aluminum can, so that means the can's going to be more expensive, too. So
the thing with the metal thing is they're dumping it, this garbage metal on the United States. We just let them do it for decades. And the Germany is like there's the worst contender with this. I think the original laws for tariffs like that were back in like 1951. I mean, we're going back a couple of years, and it was post World War II, and we helped like we do. We bombed the shit out of everybody, then we rebuild them. You know, we did it in Japan, we did it in Germany, and that's when the original tariffs like that were put in place. It was just post World War II. And we've never changed anything. Well, we were giving shit away to Germany to rebuild it, and we never stopped that practice. So we've been getting taken advantage of since 1951, and this is the first guy to actually say this is effed up. We're not gonna do this anymore. Well, why not? The people that are on the side of this one, they're freaking morons.
Well, you know, all the Republicans are fighting Trump on this, and, you know, the war has
Everybody's
started.
Fighting Trump except the people that voted for him.
It's so obvious now the war has started because now cranberries are in the firing line.
Oh, look out. Oh, I mean, think about it. The lead singer of the Cranberries died. Oh, is that an omen?
Story number 12, all right. Now, this is kind of sad. This is kind of just statistical news that really doesn't mean anything, but it's sad. 51% of the value of U.S. farm production came from farms with at least $1 million in sales in the year 2015, compared to only 31% in 1991. So what does that mean, John?
I'm not even going to think about it.
Family farms are going away. Cropland acres,
likewise,
concentrated into fewer but larger farms, with 36% of all U.S. cropland owned by farms with at least 2,000 acres of cropland or more. Goodbye, family farmer. It's disappearing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Oh, over 51%.
What are you going to do? I mean, right now, there's a thing came out the other day about garlic production. China has flooded the entire world with garlic just to take over garlic. Well, I like garlic. And now when you buy garlic in a store, it's probably from China. Pretty much production in the United States is down to almost nothing. And that sucks.
Really? I didn't know that.
And it's one. It's with death by a thousand by a thousand stabs. You know, it's just things go away. You don't realize they're going away until everything's gone, and you wonder how the hell it happened. That's what's happening.
You know, it's funny you say that because I noticed recently because I've been buying garlic. Garlic doesn't smell like garlic anymore.
No, it does not. That's the Chinese stuff.
It smells less pungent, I guess is the right word, but it's not as strong as it used to be.
Nope.
Huh.
Yep. That's what it is. And tilapia. The tilapia. That's another good one. If you think that's a cuisine, you keep eating it. You can have my portion too.
That's
freaking nasty stuff.
7.2% of our listenership in China, they're listening to our show. They're taking all these ideas and then they're taking over the world with garlic and tilapia.
That's right. Well, they've already done it. It's just
all
sad.
Right.
I mean, it's sad. We've given away everything we had, and we got nothing in return for it. But it's bad when a president stands up and says, "I don't want to play this game anymore." I mean, all of a sudden, bam! I do believe one or two large steel companies just fired the furnaces back up again.
Yeah,
in the United States. Imagine that.
One of them, I think, one in Pennsylvania hired something like 500 people back.
Yeah, and it's that's just to start it up. That once they go into full production, that's going to be 10 times, 20 times the number of people with jobs. It's just we gave everything away and got nothing in return, and the world laughs at us because we let them take advantage of us. Finally got a guy in charge saying this enough is enough. This is crap. We've had all these politicians. Now you got a businessman. It's like, he had like 7 bankruptcies and stuff. Yeah, and he had like 290 companies. If you do the math on that, you look at the average startup business. He's got a pretty damn good track record.
Yeah, he does. And I think they want to
pound him with the 7, but forget about the other 290.
But see, what the problem is, John, the kumbaya world that we live in, they don't like him because he's disrupting the kumbaya, so that's why.
Oh yeah, he is filled with reality.
Yes.
You need a safe spot, safe place from words. Okay, we call them earplugs.
All right, we got to move along. Story 13.
Yep.
Now this is just more statistics, but I found it interesting. Honey, okay, it's things you don't really think about. U.S. honey production from producers with 5 or more colonies totaled, this is amazing, 148 million pounds of honey in 2017.
It's a crazy
number,
yeah.
That was down 9% from the year before. But listen, this still blows me away. There were about 2.7 million colonies of bees producing honey last year in 2017. 2.7 million colonies. Where the hell are they? I find that the numbers of mine, people don't really think about the numbers and what it takes to make honey. I mean, all they do is they go to Walmart or wherever they shop and they get the little bear with honey in it, but they don't really think about where it comes from. Okay.
That's bee
speaking
shit.
Of bottles,
yeah, it's bee shit. It's bee piss and shit.
Speaking of bottles, by the way, speaking back to honey for a second, I thought honey was one of those type things that was never supposed to spoil, right?
Well, never is a long word. Who knows?
Well, I had a bottle of honey in my cabinet for maybe like 2 months, I went to get some the other day, and it all crystallized inside the bottle, the little bear.
Yeah, and you read product. Did you read the label? Product of China.
No, it wasn't. It was a U.S. honey, and it was made with, I think, lilacs. I think it was from lilac flowers or whatever. But it had turned, and it crystallized, and I couldn't even squeeze it out of the bottle. So that tells me it probably isn't pure honey.
You're right. And anyway, I'll tell you what, you have all these crazy allergies busting out now. It's amazing what local honey, like, you know, I do a lot of farmers markets, whatever. You got allergies, whatever. You take a teaspoon of local honey, because local honey has all of the allergens from your local flowers from your immediate area. You do a teaspoon of honey, and you don't need all those drugs to take away the little allergies. They go away by themselves because you're doing it naturally. People don't realize the power of honey. Very, very cool stuff.
Yeah, honey was even mentioned in the Bible. The land of milk. Okay, now, speaking of bottles, this is a creepy story. Many bottled water brands contain bits of plastic called microplastic, according to a research by Orb Media. The research conducted at the State University of New York evaluated more than 250 bottles from 11 different brands sold across 9 countries. A bottle of Nestle, and I love the name, Pure Life, Pure Life water showed the highest levels with 10,390 particles per liter of water. That's a lot of plastic.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Nestle's and Gerlosteiner disputed the report, saying they found much lower quantities of microplastics in their own water
study. But they didn't say they weren't putting them in, did they?
No. Well, I guess it's a migration from the plastic bottle, I assume. But
who the hell knows?
I never.
When you find that many pieces of crap in water, you can't just say, oh, it might just be a byproduct of the bottle. No, I think it's more of a volume thing. They use less water if they fill it with plastic.
Ah, you are a conniving person, aren't you? I didn't even think about that.
No, I just think things through. I try to, at least. Sometimes it doesn't work because I've been drinking.
Which is cheaper, water or plastic?
It doesn't really matter. With one without the other, you're going to die.
All right, number 15. Now, you're going to like this. This is a New Jersey story. You ready? This cracks me up. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask you, what are you and Maggie been up to? Because listen to this story. Two New Jersey residents allegedly exchanged more than $885,000 worth of food stamps for cash at Newark grocery stores since 2011. According to a federal prosecutor, an undercover agent engaged in roughly 20 purchases at the store, which one or both defendants allegedly exchanged cash for food stamp benefits. $885,000.
People are shocked about this. The amount of fraud in the whole food stamp thing is insane. That's just one little micro case. Oh my God, you probably have millions of those.
And that's two people in 7 years. $885,000 they exchanged for food stamps.
Right.
Which means there's also store owners who are also breaking the law too.
Yeah, well, there's benefits to it. I mean, I think they finally, I don't know if they did or not, I don't have those things, but I think they finally said you can't, like, buy a bag of Cheetos with food stamps.
Oh, really?
I don't know if they've done that or not, but they're talking about doing it, which I think is a great thing, because why, I mean, oh, my God, we're going to buy everything that is made by Monsanto with food stamps.
Hey, I like Cheetos, though.
It's not even food.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're still good.
Okay.
I think, you know, see, this is where you and I go off the reservation. I think we're living longer because of stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I'm right with that.
Look at the
I think, okay, you like Cheetos. Okay. Do you like the crunchy
Cheetos
ones, or you like the puffed ones?
I like the crunchy ones.
Okay, good. That's a good answer. Next time you get into a bag, you usually get a longer one than the rest. Take that, hold it in your hand, and light it with a match.
A Okay, what's going to happen? Is it going to blow up?
No, just watch. It's fun.
Light it with a match.
It's science. Yeah, light it with a match. It's science.
All right. Do I report this?
And this is the stuff you're voluntarily eating.
Now is it the crunchy ones or the puffy ones?
You can do the puffy ones, but they may explode in your hand. I don't know. The crunchy ones, they have a little bit of more mass. All the crunchy ones are, it's before they get puffed. That's all they are.
Is it like a nitroglycerin or something?
No. You won't hurt yourself. It's just it's weird. It's like a freaking weird candle.
Okay.
It really is. These things can be used as a fuel
source. So in
other
words, if the lights go out like you did last night,
light up a bag of Cheetos.
And you don't have any candles, you can use Cheetos, right?
Cheetos. Yep.
All right. Story number 16. We got a ways to go, so we got to hurry up. All right. Grocers are likely to be cautious passing price increases on to shoppers this year. You know why?
Because people don't want to pay increases?
Well, Walmart and Kroger both stated that they will lower their prices because of the savings expected from the new federal tax law. And they say that things will become more competitive because instead of trying to increase their margins, they're making so much money on the new Trump tax law that they're able to pass along lower prices to the consumers. Isn't that a twist of fate?
Well, I mean, it comes down to volume. I mean, you're dealing with volume. Okay, I mean, I could take my price and probably cut them in half if I increase my volume 10,000%. I mean, that's economics. That's supply and demand. That's all that stuff all rolled into one big jelly roll.
But the point is they're making so much money on the tax plan that he gave to them, another write-offs. That they're saying, okay, we're going to lower our margins to our consumers because we really don't have to raise our prices anymore. We can lower our prices, and our profit margins will be lower too.
Right. Okay. But it's a lose-lose because if you like, everybody wants to not. Everybody doesn't. Everybody wants to pay lower prices for everything. Of course we do.
Right.
But not
right.
If it's a big company. Think about that for a minute. Why? If it went from $1 to 75 cents, are you going to pay for $1? Are you going to pay for would you rather buy it for 75 cents? If you say you're going to buy it for $1, you're a freaking moron. So it's like
are you questioning my sources here? Because it says
no. They are given a tax break. They're using the tax break. Whatever. It is what it is. But what I'm saying is, not people are gonna be like, Trump destroyed the world again by doing this. No, he didn't, because a lot of people don't want to pay as much for stuff, and the fact that mom and pops can't keep up with the Walmarts of the world because their volume is not big. That's economics. There are certain things. I mean, I do not shop in Walmart. I do not. I that place scares the shit out of me. I don't go in that place, and I don't care what things cost. I'm not going to pay $1,000 for a head of broccoli.
But I don't have many options here like you do in New Jersey. But what is your fear of going into Walmart?
I see what roams the parking lot.
Well, that I agree with you, but.
Right, and I don't want to have it concentrated where I'm trapped in within walls with these things.
Well,
I'd rather be able to run if I can.
I'm one of those things that's there once or twice a week.
that's good. That's good. There's large, extra large. My God, it's moving toward us. I mean,
they do have good prices. Okay, we got to go. Number 17. You ready?
Yep.
Your favorite product, avocados. Avocado producers in California, Mexico, and Chile are expected to ship 56.5 million pounds of avocados just in the week of March 18th, according to the Haas Avocado Board. The board reported
and out of that 56 million pounds. Out of the 56 million pounds, much of it is actually edible?
Probably about a third of it.
Probably about 5 pounds.
No.
It's all skin and pit.
Probably about a third of it. About only a third of it is edible.
It's
I agree
that.
With you on that.
It's skin and pit.
But just think about that, John. 56.5 million pounds in 1 week. That's a lot of freaking. That's a lot of freaking avocados.
It's a lot of green slimy snot.
It's a lot of guacamole.
You can call it whatever you want. I call it slimy green snot.
I know people don't probably get as excited about numbers as I do, but I just find that mind-boggling that in 1 week we go through 56.5 million pounds of avocados. Oh,
right.
Well.
No,
okay.
You think about it. There was 300 million people in the United States. So it's like 1 pound for every three people, four, whatever the math is. I'm tired. That's a lot.
Well, that's true. You're right. That's 1 pound for every six people, I guess, five people.
And,
okay.
You don't have to lump me in there. I'm not even part of that equation.
Number 18.
If I want that stuff, I'll blow my nose and have some green food coloring.
And I actually had chest cold in the last couple of weeks, and I've been coughing up avocados looking shit myself.
Oh, nice. You've been choking up some lung butter, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Number 18. Ranchers and marketers report strong demand for California lamb. This is one of those other things that people don't think about. California lambs are born in the fall, okay, John? And marketed after Easter. Despite the fact that the holiday of Easter is the biggest time for lamb consumption in the U.S. So the part that baffles me about this story is, so they're born in the fall, baby lambs, and then they don't market them until after Easter. So
that's because,
they're
backwards.
Here's the question I have. Huh?
That's because they're backwards. There's your ethical grab-and-go food. There it is.
The ethical grab and go.
Can you grab a lamb chop?
Here's the part. I guess I don't know. I mean, I grew up in a religious home, but we didn't really eat a lot of lamb. Why is Easter time such a big time for lamb?
Because all the rest of the time it's not.
I guess that's why. But if anybody
there
knows, if you're
I don't,
a
I don't,
person,
I'm not a big religious person. There's got to be a reason. Lamb of God, I've heard that term used.
Lamb of God, the blood of the lamb. I've heard all that before, but I just never realized that people. Okay, that story's bad. All right, now let's go
bad. Yeah. Oh God. Oh.
Now, let's go to story number 19.
That turned her lamb to a goat. Shoot.
Saffron, okay? Saffron may be used as a natural treatment for mild depressive and anxiety symptoms in teenagers, according to research.
Have them pick it. Do you have any idea how hard it is to pick saffron?
Oh, it's awful.
Oh God, it's like if the devil gave you something to do, he'd make you a saffron picker.
Okay, that was the point of my whole story here. I'll read this real quick. It says, the study published in the Journal of Affective Disorders found teens taking saffron experienced a 33% improvement in mood compared to only 17% in people taking the placebo. All right, so
you know why?
Why?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because they can taste the pain and misery in every piece of saffron that they consume, and they thrive on it, knowing someone has a worse life than them.
Maybe that's what it is. In other words, what you're telling me is there is not ethical treatment of saffron.
No, there's no ethical treatment I guess it could be if you don't pick it.
Well, wouldn't it be cheaper and more fun just to smoke pot versus saffron?
Well, you want to smoke saffron? That'd be a little like that. Well,
no,
too expensive for
pot.
One. Good God, man!
Have you seen how expensive saffron is? Go to the store.
Oh, you get like point zero.
Like
no, it's
bottle
it's,
of saffron.
In the spice aisle, it's the only one that you can actually buy 0.0007 ounces of. Now, why is it 0.0007? Why not
well,
six?
Kind of like
why not eight?
It's like the perfume. Perfume, you can get like a half an ounce of perfume. For
yeah, but you get yeah, but you get like this little freaking like plastic thing with like four hairs in it, and there's your saffron. It's crazy.
Well,
it's nuts.
According to the study, it makes you feel better. I guess.
That's great. That's great. So does breathing.
If you're a teenager, I think it'd be cheaper just to buy pot. Because that'll make you feel better.
I'm happy just breathing. It doesn't take much to make me happy.
Let's see if anybody's calling. Nope, nobody's calling. Okay. Number 20.
Oh.
Okay. There you go. Amazon again. They're planning to offer credit cards to U.S. small business customers, according to people familiar with this matter. The company has been in talks with banks, including J.P. Morgan, on a co-branded credit card for small business owners that shop on their website, according to sources, okay? Amazon has rolled out a secure package delivery system to all Whole Foods Market locations also. Amazon customers can add the Amazon Locker location to their online address book and have their purchases sent to their locker instead of their home. The lockers can... be used for Amazon returns, and a package must be picked up within 3 business days of notification. Now, here's my question. I mean, first of all, Amazon's taking over the world. They got credit cards.
Right.
They got freaking everything now. Well, where are these lockers? Have you heard about these lockers yet? Because I haven't seen these lockers. Where are the Amazon lockers?
I have no idea. They're probably hidden in plain sight. I mean, that's how they work things.
Well, you can get your stuff delivered to your locker. I mean, we're going back to high school now because we had lockers for our books, and now we're going to have lockers for our Amazon deliveries.
Well, it's funny though when you hear Amazon is giving small business owners credit cards.
Yeah.
Co-branded credit cards.
Yeah.
Okay, we now own 10% of them. Only 90 more to go.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, dude. Yeah, I know
they're
that. Yeah.
They're taking over the freaking world.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you got to have Walmart for walk-ins. You got Amazon for everything else. That's gonna be the big two.
Well, I gotta find out where these Amazon lockers are because I haven't seen one. Have you?
Nope. Maybe they're hiding them in Walmart.
I guess. All right. Story number 21. Some of these stories make me laugh before I even read them. Okay, roof rats. Have you ever seen a roof rat? I have.
Yeah.
In fact, when I lived in California, we call them tree rats, but they actually run on your roof. But they live in the trees, and they'll jump on your roof and run down, and they're nasty. They're basically just, they're like squirrels without the fluffy tail.
Wait, I thought you said roof rack, like where you put your cargo on top of the car.
No, roof rats. Rats, R-A-T-S.
What the hell's a roof rat? I know what a hood rat is.
No, it's like a tree rat. In California, they have these rats that live in the trees. And they run along your roof.
Nasty.
And they look just like a damn squirrel without the fluffy tail. It has a rat tail.
But yeah,
it looks
just like a
squirrel.
With a gun.
Well, listen to this. The reason I'm talking about this is roof rats are migrating to California farms now. According to the University of California scientists, although it's unknown how much damage the rats have caused this year, researchers report that the rats have been found munching on pomegranates, citrus trees, avocados, pistachios, and even irrigation tubing. It could be a big problem.
Well, hey, dessert. You know, irrigation tubing is going to be dessert after you eat avocado. You're going to get a bad taste out of your mouth.
So
you need some irrigation tubing, Mabel. Are you going to need salt?
So you
the only one that upsets
like
me out of that is pistachios.
We call them tree rats. You never seen tree rats?
Well, tree rats are squirrels around here.
Well, I know. But the tree rats in California look
like
a
squirrel.
Well,
we don't have that feral Mad Max crap in Jersey.
It's like a. I know, you guys just steal food stamps.
That's right.
It's a big
and make money on it. And we give it to the roof rats.
It's like a big-ass squirrel with no fluffy tail. That's what a roof rat slash tree rat is. Anyway, they're taking over California.
Sounds like a wombat.
It's kind of like a wombat. You're exactly right.
A wombat and a capybara had a child.
Just as the sun would go down, and when I lived in San Diego, they would come out of the trees. It was weird. They would just start
that's
coming out of the trees.
Dude, that's
like,
nasty.
Almost like monkeys.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh.
All right. Number 22. We're almost there. Lentils. In fact, we got 20
I know,
minutes
I know, tonight, this is probably the first time I've learned something from this freaking show, roof rat. I thought you said roof rack, like a cargo rack on top of a station wagon.
No,
you got these freaking you got these freaking like airborne wombats flying out of trees with oh Jesus, dude, that's freaking gross shit. That's like Damnation Alley stuff. Where's Michael
and
J. Vincent when you need him?
Hey, good man was fun. Go outside in California. And
oh hell no,
roof,
man. No, I wouldn't. No, screw that. No, oh, right.
All right, number 22, lentils. Eat your lentils.
Oof,
son.
Lentils. Oi.
Lentils.
Lentils.
Oi. I know, that's what I said when I read it. Lentils may lower blood pressure and reverse declines in blood vessel health, according to scientists from the University of Manitoba. The researchers found
that. So you
that
die
lentils,
with perfect blood vessels.
That's exactly. Wait a minute, it's so funny you said that, but listen to this. Listen to this line. The researchers found lentils could alter the physical properties of blood vessels so they resemble the vessels found in a healthy animal.
Ooh, so lentils are from Monsanto.
So you know what? I looked up lentils, and do you realize, I didn't realize lentils are part of the legume family.
Yes, why ain't everybody dying from them? Everybody dies from peanuts, why ain't dying from lentils?
They're supposed to be good for you. I'm going to start eating my lentils. But you're right.
You eat your lentils.
It's kind of a Jewish meal, right? I mean, lentils.
No, that's a yentl.
Oh, that's a yentl.
If it's a hooker, it's a rental.
Now that was funny. All right. Have you been to Arby's lately?
Nope.
I went recently to Arby's, and actually they've changed their menu to where they're actually pretty good now. I got coupons in the mail, and I checked out some of their sandwiches, and I was surprised how good Arby's is. They used to be like shit, but they've gotten better. But anyway.
Maggie hates Arby's. Hates it. Hates.
Well,
hates.
Has she been there recently, though?
No, and I keep it. We have the meats. Well, that's great. She we had a really bad experience with one.
Well, I so did
down,
I. So
at,
did
one
I.
Of, one, I of the, one of the Civil War shoes we did down in Virginia. We stopped in one, dude. It was fucking horrible.
But I had to try it out. I got one of those coupons where you get like 10 of their Arby's roast beef sandwiches for $5.
Right.
And it wasn't bad. They've actually changed their menu and it's pretty good. But I agree with you. Arby's used to suck.
Oh
anyway,
my God! This was years ago. It's ingrained
same
in your
here.
Head that Arby's is horrible.
I agree with her. Tell Maggie I agree. Arby's used to suck, but she needs to check them out again and give them a shot because I was actually
right.
impressed. Anyway,
all right.
They're owned by a company called Inspire Brands. That's the name of the company that owns
okay.
Arby's.
And now is the meat grown or is it from an animal?
It's from an animal. Now, do you like Coke or Pepsi? By the way.
Coke.
Okay, well, you'll be happy. Tell Maggie she'll be happy because they're switching to Coca-Cola products from Pepsi at all the
well, Pepsi is too icky sweet, and you can actually hurt your throat with Coke. I like that.
Well, wait till May. Before you go there, wait till May because that's when they're going to switch everything over to
Coca-Cola. Well,
she drinks
Coca-Cola. Pepsi. She drinks Pepsi.
She better hurry up. Tell her to go before me.
We got to go, got to go, got to go right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll go over like a lead balloon.
Number 24. God, this is taking a long time tonight. Grocery retailers that offer e-commerce are poised to gain significant market share in alcohol delivery. Surprise.
Hey.
According to a recent report, the firm predicts, this firm is called Rabobank, the firm predicts the growth of online alcohol sales through grocery e-commerce will be driven in part by the projected expansion of online grocery shopping. Google search, listen to this, John, Google searches, this blew me away, for grocery delivery increased 250% since 2012 because everybody's getting freaking lazy.
And I was just going to say, that's what it is.
Searches for alcohol delivery have increased 500% since 2012.
Yeah, because, well, hey, problem is, there's going to be a downside to this. To every town in the United States, their revenue is going to go down because they're going to get a lot less DWI tickets because you can't be drunk and you don't have to be drunk and drive the liquor store anymore.
Ah, very good.
See, that's actually good. Yeah, it is good. Well, then your tax is going to go up because they don't have the revenue from the DWIs. Ah,
there you go. All right, moving along. Story number 25. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. You know that slogan on their commercial? Listen to this. The Hershey Company just broke ground on a $60 million expansion to its plant in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. The expansion will focus only on manufacturing their line of Kit Kat bars. Jesus Christ, the amount of money they must be making on Kit Kat bars.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, Kit Kat bars are good, too. One of those ones that stand the test of time kind of thing.
But don't you hate it when you're like, if you've got a Kit Kat bar and then someone's sitting beside you and you really want both, you really want both of them, but then you feel obligated that you have to give them half of it?
No, you look right at them and take a bite out of the middle of it.
Yeah, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Shut up. I'm
you go,
yeah,
break
up
a piece of, go fuck yourself.
All right, we're almost done. Story number 26. Now, this one you're going to like. It's about robots, okay? We talked about robots. Hey, we've actually got a caller. Should we take the caller? No,
absolutely.
You know what? I want to finish the story first, then I'll take the caller. Okay.
All right.
Oh, crap. I just screwed up. Wait a minute.
They hung up?
No, I can't get anything to work here. Hold on a second. Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, the Manson-Nixon line, that's what happens.
Yes, wait a minute. Okay, food news. Okay, here we go. Okay, the company that makes Peeps, you know Peeps, they come out at Easter time.
Oh, they're great in the microwave. You ever do that? They're fun.
Yes. I don't like little suckers. They're nasty, but okay.
I don't either. They're nasty.
Did you know the name of the company, the company name of the people who make Peeps?
No.
The company is called Just Born. That's the name of the
company. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I knew that.
Just Born Quality Confection. They're installing 16 robots at its factory in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in August. They're going to kind of miss the market, aren't they? In August, which can pick up and hold Peeps without bruising them. The company hopes the robots, developed by a company called Soft Robotics Incorporated, will help speed up production and result in fewer rejects on the line due to handling damage.
And there is your ethical grab and go.
Yes, there you go.
You're not damaging the Peeps. Because Peeps can't scream. They can't tell you they're being bruised, the poor little things. Now it's ethical.
That's a good one, John. That's grab and go.
See? Yeah, grab and go. Grab and go Peep. A non-bruised Peep.
We just need to call Just Born Quality Confections and tell them we want to put a label in there that says ethically produced. I bet we sell gazillion.
Yes, ethically produced and handled.
And handled by a soft
robot. By soft robots.
All right, should we take this call? We got 11
Absolutely.
Minutes. Yeah, let's take this call. Okay, here we go. Boom. And press this button. Good evening. This is Great Ideas Radio. Who in the heck is calling us?
it might be. Kentucky's in the house.
Hey! You know, I think, are you like our only listener? You're the only person ever.
By the way. Well, and I want to tell you, I'm from next door to Just Born Candy.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm from Allentown, and Bethlehem's right next door, living here in Allentown, Billy Joel, you know?
No kidding.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And Hazleton's got Harry's You Pull It, one of the biggest junkyards of cars. Oh, man.
I didn't understand about Kit Kat. Are they really made in Hazleton, or is it Hershey?
No, they're building a plant.
They're building a plant in freaking Hazleton?
Wait a minute. Let me go back and read.
Okay.
So here comes the reality. The Just Born Quality Confectioners makes the peeps is in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
In Bethlehem, but Kit Kat.
Yeah, but you're right.
Kit Kat's in Hershey.
Hershey is spending $60 million.
You said Hazleton, honey. You said Hazleton.
No. I think you said they're building a plant in Hazleton.
That's scary.
Yeah, Hershey is for Kit Kat bars.
That's scary.
Wait, back up. Hazleton's cold cracker country.
Where did you live? I lived in Allentown. I lived in Allentown, which is south of Hazleton. Hershey is east.
Yeah.
And Bethlehem's on the other side of Allentown. So, but Hazleton's nothing but coal cracker country. It's weird.
They're spending $60 million for Kit Kat.
Well,
there.
Good for Hazleton. That's excellent. There's nothing there.
Except the Hershey plant.
Right now. But anyway, those boxes for Amazon look like milk boxes that you said get your milk delivered in, and they have a lockbox on them.
So it's actually at your house. So it's actually sitting on your porch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like a place you went to for like there was a locker, like
I
a locker
think,
room that you
no,
went
you
to.
You can get lockers right out, and they even show people walking in your door if you have a combination that you can get in your door. Like that's. Mark.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. Yeah, that's wow.
It is creepy.
By the
way,
on a side note, speaking of Easter,
it just dawned on me. This is freaking weird. So Just Born Quality Confections, who makes Peeps, which come out on Easter, is in Bethlehem,
right.
Pennsylvania.
Was that
done on purpose or just a fluke?
Just Born
is in Bethlehem.
And Nazareth is right above Bethlehem.
Yep.
Really?
Intercourse and Blue Balls is not too far away. I think Blue Balls and Intercourse
far.
Is not up the road.
And Bird in Hand.
They're closer to Hershey.
All right. We got to go.
I like her. You see, we got to get her back on next week.
Come on next week. The tradition of eating lamb on Easter?
I never have, to be honest.
I haven't either, but I have the tradition for you. I've looked it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
It has its roots in early Passover, observances before the birth of Christianity, because the people of Egypt suffered a series of terrible plagues, including the death of all the firstborn sons. Jews painted their doorposts with the sacrificed lamb's blood so God would pass over their homes.
Ah.
And that's why we eat lamb now, because of the
Lamb of God. Yeah, I've never eaten lamb. Anyway, so it makes sense. And they wouldn't have much fresh meat after winter.
I imagine that.
They had lambs.
So is that? I got a project for you before next week. So next week when you call in, what I want to know is who decided to serve mint jelly with that.
Oh, I know. I saw that listed, so I can tell you.
What?
I thought you wanted me to wait.
Oh, no. Frank, I think we have our new research, head of research here for the show.
It's here.
I'm I'm seeing head researcher. I really am. It's got written all over.
Next week, call in. I want to know why. Why the heck do you have to serve that with mint jelly next week?
Okay, I will do that, Frank.
There it is.
All
and,
right.
And your name again was?
Hi, guys. Debbie.
Debbie. All right,
Debbie
cool.
From Kentucky. Debbie from Kentucky. Remember?
Right. Right.
There it is.
Right.
All right,
we
got to go. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
See you later. Oh, this is awesome. See that? We have a head research analyst. This is great.
Yes, we do. And we got 5 minutes or the damn system's going to shut down. So let me hurry up. Number 27.
Number 27.
back on drones, another story about drones. Commercial drones in the U.S. are expected to begin limited package deliveries within months, according to the federal regulators and industry officials. At least 10 FAA-approved pilot programs for various drone initiatives are slated to start in May, and they're urging startups to establish business to submit a variety of proposals with plans. So drones are going to soon be, as of May, delivering packages to
sure they will.
New Jersey.
And being shot out of the sky. When hey, Mabel, what do you think? Let's get some presents.
That's going to happen. And last but not least, our 28th story. Oh, my God, my system's shutting down. We're almost out of time. Do you know what an elver is, E-L-V-E-R, John?
No.
An elver is a baby eel, okay? Yep. Members of the Maine elver fishing industry are expecting very high prices in 2018 because of a shortage on baby eels. A New York
supply and demand.
Yes, expects prices will double the normal amount. You know what the normal amount was last year, baby eels? You ready for this? $1,300 per pound. And do you know how many baby eels it takes to make 1 pound of baby elvers?
Oh, it's probably hundreds, or if not thousands.
2,000 baby eels to make one single pound. And the elver fishing season begins March 22nd, so get out your elver net, and it ends June 7th. And they're fished from nets from rivers and streams and sold to dealers in a tightly regulated fishery market. So they're expecting it to be $2,600 per pound for baby.
That's crazy.
I don't know if I guess the Asians eat that crap, but
yeah, eat that crap.
And
oh my God,
we are literally almost out of time. The system's going to shut down. So I'm going to shut up. John, it's your turn to say goodbye to everybody. We'll be here next week, next Sunday at 9 p.m. with our new research analyst.
Analyst, yeah, head research analyst. Yep, Debbie from Kentucky.
Debbie from Kentucky. And, John, it's all yours because I got to hurry up and turn this damn system down.
All right. See everybody next Sunday. We expound our knowledge upon you once again. As I always say, same bat time, same bat channel. We be out of here. See you next week.
See you guys. Take care.
the, and that's all, folks.